If you want to turn in your Bible, you can use your phone. It'll be up on the screen. We're going to go to a familiar place to us. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. And we're not going to start over with our Matthew study, but we're going to look at something from there. We're too far down the road in Matthew to start over. And before I really get started this morning, I just want you to know that I was kind of joking around about the mad scientist thing, but as I began prepping for this series on more than just a name, I thought, all right, God, what are you going to do here? Where are we going to go? Is this a 4-week series? Is this a 3-week series? And here we are in week 3, and I'm just going to tell you, we're probably going to be here almost till Father's Day, y'all. And you say, golly, that's June. But in the midst of my prayers and studying and just thinking, and I shared this with a friend of mine, and then I shared this with Shannon last night, is I'll get it out in a minute. For me personally, this has been the first time in a long time, that I feel like God has took me through something. And yes, I'm sharing it with you, but man, what he's been showing me just by studying who he is, it truly is more than just a name. When we say God, it's more than just saying God. When we say Jesus, it's so much more than just saying Jesus. And you know, who's the next one? When we say Holy Spirit, we start talking about the Holy Spirit, it's just so much more than just saying. Is it important to say those names? Absolutely. But gosh, y'all, I'm telling you, it's just, when you begin to just die daily, and you begin to pour everything that you've got into your Father, into your Savior, and into the Spirit that leads you and guides you. Oh my goodness, how sweet it is. How sweet it is. So I broke every rule of worship leader, worship pastor that you could break this morning with those songs. Because you're supposed to ramp you up and then slow you down, right? Or you're supposed to slow it down then ramp you up. You're not supposed to interrupt. Guess what? I interrupted you about 3 or 4 times. But listen, I did all those things because I wanted you to see that this morning we're going to be transitioning from talking about God to talking about Jesus. So I wanted your mind and I wanted your heart to be focused where? On Jesus. And you say, well, why do you say that? Because listen to me. If this is the only moment that you come to church, if this is the only involvement you have, and I'm not criticizing. I know people work crazy schedules. People do all kind of stuff in the world that we live in today. But if this is the only moment, the only opportunity that you get to come and you get to be surrounded in a safe place with fellow believers, right? Then without a doubt, this moment has to be about King Jesus. Has to be about King Jesus. Now, how many of you showed up this morning and that was the furthest thing from your mind? Probably everybody sitting here. I started to say, how many of you drove here in a half argument with your significant other? I came by myself, so I was arguing with myself. Yeah. How many of you came with your kids in the back seat and you had to get the wooden spoon out of the console? And but when you get here, and you come in here, and you know that you're here for the right reason, and you begin to change your heart, and you begin to change your mind, and you begin to change that focus, right? Then before you know it, sweetest name I know, we'll take over. And you'll find lyrics like that that says, what, Jesus healer. How many people need just some type of healing? And I ain't talking about physical healing. Most of us have more spiritual sickness than we do physical sickness. And then the next line in that is lover of my soul. I still, after all these years, I just can't understand how my Savior, how Jesus looks at me and He says, I love you. It just blows my mind. It blows my mind. Because I don't always have that capacity with people. You say, well, you're a preacher. I have to work, y'all, to have that capacity with people. What do we say, Brian? Folks is folks, people is people. But that's me. Jesus looks and says, you know what? That's one of my children. If you belong to Him, if you give your life to Him, He says, what? This is one of my children, right? If you don't yet belong to Him, He looks and He says, hey, it's not one of mine yet, but boy, I wish they would. And it just speaks to the fact that He loves us so much. We live in a world that wants you to think that it's all about you. And then when you start thinking it's all about you, you know what the world does then? They try to devalue you. Because what they want to do is they want to get you built up. Because when they get you at the highest point that they can get you in, and what really it ought to be, I ought to be talking about who? Satan, right? But when he gets you built up and he gets you to this point and it's all about you, then what does he do? Shoop! Why? Because he's after your soul. He's after your soul and he wants to destroy it. But aren't you glad that we got Jesus? A healer, a savior, a lover of your soul. Whew. I might get fired up again, y'all. I'm just saying. I thought this morning, since we're going to be talking about Jesus, that there would be no better place than to start with the pronouncement of His birth. You say, well, it ain't Christmas. We can't talk about the birth of Jesus. Why not? Why not? Right? You see, the pronouncement of His birth was unique. It was special. And if you really look into it, it followed a biblical context that you'll see throughout all of Scripture, but it's a biblical context where God used special messengers to carry out His will among His people. The Old Testament writers recorded these events some 60 times with the use of the phrase, the angel of the Lord. Now, this phrase is a reference for special angels who conducted specific tasks and proclamations of God. And I'm going to pause right there for a second. These special messengers did these specific tasks under the proclamations of God. And guess what they were doing? They were God coming to an individual and speaking something to them. Only a God that cares about you, only a God that cares about the individual does things like that. It was these same servants that we find throughout the Gospels in connection with Jesus, right? Concerning his birth, concerning his temptation when he went in the wilderness, concerning his second coming, and then the final judgment that's coming. And oh, by the way, his resurrection. These special servants, these special messengers from God, sent by him to proclaim what? Not just the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ, but to claim what? The truth of who he really is. Who he really is. Did y'all know that there are only three named angels in Scripture? Lucifer was the first, and then Michael and Gabriel. Michael is always depicted as a defender. In other words, if you see where God sent an angel of the Lord, and in the next part of that reading, or just before that reading, if you find out that God sent the angel of the Lord and it had to do with protection or defending something, guess what? It's a good chance that it was Michael. And then Gabriel, everybody's heard that name, right? Gabriel. When the angel of the Lord Gabriel was sent, Gabriel is seen as a messenger. Okay? So according to Luke's gospel, an angel of the Lord announced. So that's what? Gabriel, right? He's delivering a message. So according to Luke's gospel, the angel of the Lord announced to Zechariah the birth of John the Baptist, who was, of course, the man that God put in place to do what? Prepare the way for the Messiah, right? I think many of us could stand to hear John's message this morning, so I'm going to give it to you. Repent because you're a sinner and be saved. Guess what? John went around for months, years, all over the place. And that was his message. That was his message. And he was giving that message and delivering that message. Why? Because he knew Jesus, the Savior, was the one to come next. But it was Gabriel, an angel of the Lord, that went to Zechariah and said, guess what? You're going to have this young man, John the Baptist. John the Baptizer, really. That's the other thing that John did. When people did hear the message and they did repent and they did offer or ask for forgiveness, John would do what? Baptize them. Now, many of you sitting in a Baptist church think, well, we call him Baptist because that's the original denomination. You're wrong. It's John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer. Prophesied and sent by an angel of the Lord. It was this same angel, Gabriel, who revealed to Mary that she would bear the Son of God through the Holy Spirit. This angel also revealed through a dream to Joseph the truth behind Mary's supernatural pregnancy. So let's look in Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25, and let's just see what it says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. You know what that means? Listen, this is how it really happened. You say, well, the Bible, is the Bible factual? When I read things, hey, the birth of Jesus Christ happened in this way, this is facts. This is how it occurred, okay? When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from who? The Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.
Hang on. For he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Whew. So, I hope that as I read through that you saw a few names for the Messiah. You saw just a few names for the Messiah. One of the names for Jesus, by the way, is Messiah, which in the Hebrew is a word that means the anointed one or the chosen one. But in our text this morning, I hope that one of the first things that you see in reference to the Messiah is what? Jesus Christ. Some translations say Jesus the Christ. You know why that is? Because this is a combination of the earthly name intended for God's Son. In the original Greek, his name was translated from the Hebrew Yeshua. You ever heard anybody refer to Jesus as Yeshua? There's some that say that's the only way you should refer to him. Can I just say that is incorrect theology? Okay? But Yeshua means the Lord is salvation. I won't say that again. The Lord is salvation. If you don't get anything out of this morning, right? If you're desperate and you need to be saved, guess what? You need to turn to Yeshua. Because he is the only one who can save. The Lord is. Doesn't say might be, could be. Says the Lord is salvation. Now the Greek translation for Yeshua is Isus. Isus. I-E-S-O-U-S. Isus. But of course, the English spelling of that Greek word is Jesus. Jesus. Therefore, I want you to know this. Look, I get tickled at my notes sometimes, y'all. Y'all know why I type out notes? Because I'm better than doctors, y'all. I'm telling you. I can't even read my own writing. But I get tickled sometimes. Therefore, and I put, let it be known, like I'm some big shot to make a proclamation to you, right? Know this. Yeshua, Isus, Jesus, all of those are one and the same. And should be known as the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. You see, Christ, in his divine title, right? That's the second part of that. Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Christ. First we got what? His earthly name, and then we get his title. Matthew was clever, wasn't he? Matthew was clever. Christ is his divine title and is a related term to Messiah. Therefore, Matthew wants us to know. See, Matthew should have said, let it be known. Right? Matthew wants us to know he is referring to the Lord who saves is the one appointed by God. The Lord who saves is the one appointed by God. Acts 2:21 reminds us that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who calls upon Yeshua shall be saved. Everyone who calls upon
Jesus shall be saved. Everyone who calls upon Christ shall be saved. Everyone who calls upon Jesus shall be saved. Now I want you to take note, if you look on down a little further, of the other name given to Jesus from our text. This name was the one given to him through the prophecy of Isaiah. Both the Hebrew and English spellings are identical. Emmanuel, seen here with an I. The Greek spelling begins with an E instead of an I. Have you ever seen it that way? You've seen Emmanuel written with an I or an E, right? And while the spellings differ slightly, the meaning of the word and the meaning behind the word are identical in nature. Now, I want you to really note this. Jesus, Jesus, right? Jesus the Christ, that was his earthly name, right? Because the angel of the Lord that came and spoke to Mary, and then the angel of the Lord that spoke to Joseph said what? This son that's going to come to you through supernatural birth, and I keep saying that word because why? That's how Jesus was conceived, through the Holy Spirit. Only God can do that, by the way. Right? So the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, that came and spoke, says, you will name him Jesus. You will name him Yeshua. You will name him Jesus. And you say, well, why don't you get into what Yeshua means and all that stuff? Because I don't want you to get it in your mind, oh, I got some debate material now. Let it be known that all of those are the same. One and the same. And last time I checked, outside of maybe Randy and a few other ones, most of us don't know any Greek or Hebrew. I took one Greek class one time. I said, whoop, that's it for me. Right? Y'all have heard that phrase? It's all Greek to me. Yeah. Well, that's how it was. Even the periods and the commas. Woo! Anyway. This name, Emmanuel, is the spiritual or symbolic name given to Jesus that carries with it a couple of messages, a twofold message. First, the idea of God's presence with us goes all the way back to the garden. Now here we find in the text, what does Emmanuel mean? God with us, or God is present. Guess what? That's not a new concept. That's not a new concept. If you know the story from the garden, guess what? God was where? In the garden with them. Man, if they just hadn't have messed it up, right? Also, we know that God was present with the Israelites throughout their eventual release from captivity in Egypt. And what I'm trying to show you is that God didn't just say, here I am in the garden, and now here I am as Emmanuel. All throughout biblical history, all throughout our scripture, guess what we find? We find God being present. Well, what do I mean by that? Present where? In the lives, the workings of the lives of what? People. His people. Exodus 13:21. This ought to be familiar. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way. When it says the Lord went before them, guess what? They could see that cloud, could they not? Guess who was in the cloud? God, he was present with them, right? And it goes on to say, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. How many hours are in a day? 12. Thank you. If you split it in half, it's 12 day and 12 night. We always say, how many hours are in a day? Well, in the daylight, about 12. And then at night is another 12. When I read that, it says, guess who's with them always? Who? Guess who's present with them always? God. God. You say, well, why do you point that out? Because I want you to know this. If you give your life to Jesus Christ,
If you give your life to Emmanuel, the promise in that name is that he will always be with you. He will always be present in your life, night and day. And some of you, I'm just going to be honest, you need God to put a pillar of fire and a cloud to lead you around. Because we're that stubborn sometimes. We're that stubborn sometimes. The second message and purpose behind calling Jesus Emmanuel deals with salvation. Jesus, the Lord who is salvation, was made available to all who believe in him. See, Jesus came on the scene because God didn't want to just be to allow access to him to be just one certain group or one group of people. He wanted us, all people, to have access. So Jesus came on the scene. And to say that Emmanuel is God with us, guess what? It means that God is with the Jew and the Gentile, or all. If we are saved, then we are also promised that Jesus will forever be present in our lives. Speaking to the disciples, Jesus said this, "For where two or three are gathered in my name," what does it say? "There am I among them." When I read that, I'm just reminded of the promise that if I give my life to Jesus Christ, right? He's with me. And when I come to church on a Sunday morning and there's at least one other person here, I love it when we packed out. But if there was one other person here, somebody asked me that one time, said, "What if you got there and there's just one person?" Well, I guess that one person is going to get tired of me preaching to them. Because I'm going to share what God's laid on my heart, whether it's one or 1 million. Right? But Jesus said to his disciples, "Hey, where there's two or more gathered in my name, there I am also. There I am also." I want you to do something this morning. If you got somebody to your left or right, I want you to look at them and I want you to just say, "Jesus loves you." Do it, do it, do it, do it. This is the active part. All right, now, if nobody said Jesus loves you to you, then somebody else say it to them. If you didn't say it, Jesus loves you to somebody, do it now. Oh, there's a few lingering, few lingering. Just before Jesus ascended, and right after he delivered the Great Commission, right? He said, "And behold, I am with you," and this is what I love, y'all, "always to the end of the age." To the end of the age. You know what that means? That means this age of living on earth will come to an end, right? Guess who will be there with us? Jesus. And then it continues where? In heaven. Guess who will be there with us? Jesus. And I've said this before, we can't grasp it because we put everything on the timeline, right? Beginning and end, right? We got to think that way, right? Because we're finite, not infinite. But in infinite thinking, spiritual mindedness, heaven thinking, when we talk about eternity, we talk about forever, that's a long time. Yeah, times 400, whatever, da, 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 da. You can't even put a number on it. What I want you to get to say is when it says that Jesus is present in your life, and then he says what? "I will be with you always." That's a long, long time. Thank you. Because that's in my spirit. That's what I want to do. I want to shout, y'all. I just want to say, when I say that, Jesus is going to be with me forever. With me for a long time. With me as long as I could ever imagine. Why? Because he loves me. It just blows my mind that he'd do that for little old me. It ought to blow your mind that he'd do that for little old you. And when you think about that and you try to grasp it and you try to put it down here in this finite thing that we call our brain, it ought to make you say, thank you, Jesus, that I'll never be by myself. Thank you, Jesus, that I'll never, ever be in the dark. You know, he can't be in the dark. Never mind. That's a different sermon for a different day. You know, the things we've been talking about this morning are promises that come directly from the Savior to the believer. If you want to experience the presence of God in your life, anybody want to experience the presence of God in your life? Anybody here this morning ever felt like, well, where is he at? Y'all know me. I'm just as transparent. I'm gonna be as honest as I can. He's there. He's there. Whatever you got going on is why you can't see him, or you can't feel him. And that might be why he has chosen in that moment to be silent, or to let you know that he's there if you need him. If you want to experience the presence of God in your life, then putting your faith in Jesus is the only way to do it. The only way to do it. I've had people tell me, oh, I believe in God. Okay, that's great. That's great. Even the demons believe in God. Satan believes in God. But if you want to experience God, you want God to be present in your life, then you've got to give that life to him. And the Bible says, not the preacher, I'm saying it, I'm just repeating. You ever hit one of them old tape recorders? Wait, some of y'all are too young for that. And then you hit the next button, and it repeats what you just heard. That's all I'm doing. The Bible says, and we've talked about this for a few weeks, if you do what? Believe where? In your heart. And confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, is what? The Lord is salvation, then you shall be saved. That's the only way, folks. That's it. There's no other way. No other way. None. So when you call upon the name of Jesus, it means so much more than just saying his name. Is it important to say his name? Absolutely. But I think Randy said it in his praise. I get so much more. I get so much more. So I've got a few questions. I just want to ask you this. Can you today confidently say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Can you call on Jesus because you know him? You know who he is. Is he the Lord who has saved you? We're going to move shortly, not quite yet though, Brian, to our invitation. And, God, y'all. There's so many people when they found out I was going to be a pastor or a preacher. It's funny, this debate over what to call me. Just call me Brian, call me preacher,
call me pastor, call me knucklehead, whatever. Well, I'm trying to back off of that. But there's so many people have told me, say, you got to give that invitation. You got to give that invitation. You got to give that invitation. Well, what if Jesus says don't do an invitation? What if the Holy Spirit says, well, don't do an invitation? We put so much pressure on people to do things that we think is right. But I'm just going to say it this way. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond this morning. And you can call it an invitation. You can call it an altar call. You can call it whatever you want to. Because you ain't responding to me. Or at least I hope you're not. If you're here this morning, I hope you've heard from the Lord, who is salvation. I hope you've heard from Jesus Christ. And I hope that in the next few minutes, when we play this song, that you make some kind of decision. And if you're sitting here this morning and you never chose Christ and you walk out that door and it's no different than when you came in and you still haven't chose Christ, then you have made a decision. Albeit not a great one. And you say, well, my boy, I've done that. I've done that. Well, maybe your decision is simply this. I need to acknowledge who He is. I need to say in front of everybody else, and it don't even have to be spoken words, right? That He's my King, that He's my Savior, that He's my Lord. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, maybe you just need to come up here and talk to Him. When's the last time you got on your knees to talk to Jesus? When's the last time you fell on your face to talk to Jesus? I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to share this. Thursday, when God was shaking all this out of my brain, I was here by myself. And I had turned the music off for some reason. Usually I got music playing in the office. And I got up and I went in the kitchen and I was going to get another cup of coffee. And about halfway there, someone said, put the coffee cup down and come in here. And I come in here and y'all, I'm not a very still person. This is what I was doing. I'm just going to show you. I'm over here and I'm going, okay, we could do this over here with this TV. And I was thinking about stuff. Junk. And the more I began to walk around, I said, is that right? Does that look better? You know, I come up, I said, do we need to erase that? And I'm going through this whole sanctuary. Didn't have a clue why I was in here. And in the midst of me worried about stuff and lights and carpet and is the pew, you know what I'm saying? In the midst of all of that, Jesus said, look, I sent you in here because I want you to get on your hands and knees. I want you to fall on your face. And I want you to just talk to me in this moment. In this moment. And I'm not bragging. I promise you I'm not bragging. Don't take it that way. At all. But in that moment, I'm surprised it ain't still wet, y'all, just being honest with you. I laid here and I cried. And I cried. And I said, I don't know why I'm crying, God. I don't know, Jesus, why I'm crying. You got to tell me what's going on. You got to tell me what's happening. You got to tell me what this is all about. And as it all ended about, an hour later maybe, and it was peaceful. Peace like a river. It was just peaceful. And I stood up. When I stood up, Jesus says, I brought you in here because you needed to be here more than you needed to be anywhere else in this moment. And I needed to hear from you. And I know that every tear, every conversation, every word that come out of my mouth, he heard every bit of it. And I'm just going to tell y'all, which prophet's the weeping prophet? Jeremiah. Y'all know I beat myself up over that. Because I tell myself that I don't want to be like this. You know? And the Bible says, you know, you got to control your emotions and all this stuff. But look, and I'm not saying I'm trying to do that. I'll never do that. I mean, I try sometimes, but you know what I'm saying? I get like this because of part of what I was praying and crying out to the Father here. My heart aches for this world. My heart aches for people. And I don't know why. God gives us gifts, and I'll tell you one of the gifts he's given me, and I don't understand it. And matter of fact, I get mad at him sometimes. I say, well, God, why'd you make me this way? But I have this ability to absorb the pain of other people, even if I don't know them. And I ache for people. And one of the reasons I ache for people is I ache so bad for them because when I have moments like that, I walk away saying, gosh, they're hurting because they don't have Jesus. And they just need Jesus. They just need Emmanuel. They just need Yeshua. They just need the one that died on a cross for them. But whatever it is, they just won't let go and grab him. And I ache and I hurt for people. So perhaps you need this morning to confess to Jesus. Perhaps you need this morning to ask for forgiveness in this place. And I ain't just talking about to him. Perhaps you need to profess your love to him. When's the last time? Look, I am not picking on you. I promise. I promise. Because if y'all watch me, don't watch me. You know, you remember that thing I was talking about last week about hypocritical stuff? Right? I want, when that rock guy was playing, praise him, you know, and they swaying even though they out of, you know, they white people. They like, you know, ain't got no rhythm, right? But those people, man, when that little girl gets up there and she starts reciting Psalm 50 and then the guy gets up there and he goes into it, I thought he was going to float, y'all. I don't want that for the show. I want that because that's the presence of God. That's Emmanuel in your life. And we come in here and we got to be good little Baptists. I was raised that way. I'm not making fun. But listen to me. If he's present and he's saying shout, then you ought to do what? Yeah. Shout. If he says, I need to get Mr. Visage over there. Ooh, he said move that leg. Get over here and move the leg. Not for show, outside of the fact that you want to show everybody watching that Jesus has got a hold of you. Jesus is present, and he's your Lord. He's your master. He's your king. He's your savior. He's your everything. Woo-hoo-hoo! When I ache for people, that's why I ache, y'all. Because I know there's so much more. I know it. Even for me. Yeah, God, y'all, I do this all the time. I'm going to get pants and stuff without pockets. I'm going to start preaching in athletic shorts because they don't have pockets. Some of you going, make sure they're long, right? But my point is, look, it's okay. It's okay, Jesus. Here I am. It's okay. Praise him, praise him. I mean, I thought, y'all, I'm just being honest with you, I had a good plan. I thought, oh, yeah, they're going to hear that song. They're going to clap. Y'all didn't move. Again, it's not for show. It's not for show outside of what? To praise. You want to show people that He is truly your everything. Perhaps this morning you need to simply raise your hands in praise to Him, or fall on your face in worship to Him. Perhaps you might need to just sit still and bathe in Emmanuel. Bathe in God with you in this place. In this place. I am going to sit right here. Or I'm going to sing right here. Or I'm going to stand right here. Or I'm going to dance over here. I'm going to do something over here this morning for me. But if you need me to help you, I will be here. But again, you ain't responding to me. You're responding to Him. And I'm telling you, don't walk through those doors without making a decision for Jesus. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Again, you walk out the same, you made a decision. I want you to walk out here saying, you know what? Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus, Emmanuel, that's who I belong to. That's who I belong to.
God's fullness dwells in you, made like us, all God's strength in weakness, God embracing need. Jesus, beautiful, Jesus, God with us. The wonder you so plain and humble should be God's joy and wisdom, God's own heart revealed.
Jesus, we thank you for your presence this morning. God, thank you so much for sending Jesus. Thank you so much for sending your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, God, that we are not alone in this world. So, Lord, as we leave today, I pray, God, that we will praise you not just on Sunday morning, but all the other days of the week that you've given us as well. And Lord, I don't know how you moved and how you worked and how you spoke to people this morning, but I know that it was awesome. So I thank you for that. I praise you for that. I give you honor and glory for that. And God, as we go, we just ask, Lord, that you will be faithful, and I know that you will, to your promises. And Lord, as we go, will you be with us? So, Father, today we love you. Jesus, today we love you. Holy Spirit, today we love you. Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, every day. We love you. And it's in your mighty and holy name I pray. Amen.